You're listening to Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, joined in the studio by Kate Lochte and John Fannin.
John Fannin directs bands at Murray State University. I bet you all know him because you're out there during ball games just leading this wonderful ensemble you've created.
Thank you very much. Yeah, people get to see me at a lot of different events. And you know, sometimes people don't get to see me put my tuxedo on and stand up and do some serious music sometimes.
And that's what's happening tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's 7:30 in Lubbock, free to the audience. It's a great concert. The Symphonic Orchestra is playing, and the Symphonic Band are playing this tomorrow evening. About an hour's program of standard literature for orchestra and band. It'll be great variety of styles, really. I mean, both groups had their concert canceled back when the ice hit, you know, and we canceled school. So we're only doing one concert. So I think people will experience a very well-polished concert tomorrow evening.
Well, it's in Lovett Auditorium, of course, historic Lovett Auditorium.
Yes.
And you say, I think it's funny when a real musician talks about a program as being, what was the word you used? Just used the literature is
standard literature. You know, when we're teaching our students about different things in music, you know, if you think about being well read, you know, Catch 22, you know, all those books, Shakespeare, all those things that you would want someone who is well read to have experience. Well, the literature tomorrow night is literature that we want our music majors particularly to know from a professional standpoint. The orchestra literature tomorrow evening, if they make the Paducah Symphony or the Owensboro Symphony or the Jackson Symphony, pretty standard literature that you're going to play on a regular basis. The symphonic band music, if they're public school educators and have a pretty good high school band, those pieces are standard literature that have sort of, there's only one work on the concert tomorrow night that was written in the last 5 years. You know, everything else is, you know, 20, 30, 100 years old, 200 years old.
Well, go ahead and describe the program because it is pretty cool.
Yeah, the orchestra is going to come out first and play some Wagner, Die Meistersinger, one of my favorite works, you know, some Dvorak Carnival Overture, and that'll be about 20 minutes, and the orchestra's really got a great sound, all the strings and the brass and woodwinds and percussion. It's a symphony. And those pieces are really light to listen to. They're not super challenging. Almost in the orchestra world, they're almost considered pop tunes because they're so well known. I mean, they're really things that audiences like to hear. The symphonic band program is that we're going to open tomorrow night with Ralph Vaughan Williams' English Folk Song Suite. Has three movements, and it's based on English folk songs. It was one of the first pieces written exclusively for the wind band. You know, a lot of music was written for orchestra prior to 1900. Not a lot of band stuff. There are one or two works. So it was one of the first important works. So it's very historically significant. And it's that British band style. Then we're playing a beautiful ballad by a composer in Texas. Symphonic Dance Number 3 is a Spanish-flavored work by Clifton Williams, written back in the 50s. Really one of the big pieces. It's in 5-4. It has a different kind of groove. It's almost like it's a dance, but it's like dancing with somebody that doesn't have good time. You know, they sort of skip a beat. But it has a really interesting 1-2-3, 1-2. It has a really unique pattern to it. And we're going to close with a ripping thing called Ignition by a composer from Illinois. It's the only new thing on the program. And it's just a gas. It's fun.
I can tell that you enjoy it. We're having a cast of thousands here on stage tomorrow night. It's, you said, 120 to 130 students.
Yeah, and it's going to represent students from across campus. There's a lot of music majors in both organizations, but there's a lot of non-majors. A lot of our ensembles have primarily music majors, you know, that we sit down and love it and paw and Farrell, that you'll hear concerts and recitals. These two ensembles have a large percentage of non-majors, so we always try to have opportunities for people that play instruments on campus to have an experience, to sit down and play, keep their chops up, if you will, and not have to audition per se. I mean, there is a little requirement. You have to be able to play the level of music that we're playing. We do a little bit of a screening on that, but it's a really non-pressured thing where we come in and we'll do 10, 12 rehearsals on something, and then we'll do a concert on it. In high school, they rehearsed 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, 5 days a week on a piece of music. We're going to do it in 5 to 12 rehearsals usually.
What a great way, though, to gift a student whose profession may not be music, but will have music to be with an entire lifetime and to practice an entire lifetime.
People many times forget how cathartic it is to maybe do a blog or a journal. Well, to take your horn out and play really loud or beat a drum extra hard. Those students that are pre-vet majors and are stressed out by their biology and chemistry, for them to take an hour twice a week and come in and really express themselves with their instruments is a really great part of their college experience and pretty good for their souls and stress management, I think.
And I was fascinated by you said that when the symphonic band is going to be up, we're going to see a brass section change out.
Yeah, we had so many brass players compared to woodwinds that I had to come up with solutions so that the brass weren't always getting be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. So I figured out we had exactly two times too many. So the first two numbers, there'll be one set of group of brass players. After that number, well, you'll see an exodus from the back couple rows, and we'll have a new flight come in, and then we'll play the last two numbers. And that way, it's a much better experience. Being fewer to a part lets the students not have to be covered up so much. They can really hear themselves, and it's a much more pleasant experience. It also cuts down on the volume. It's not the racer band where 300 is good. You know, it's really helped solve some of the imbalances with the students, the number of students that play. And there's always an ebb and flow with how many students play in there. So it's always a guesstimation for me. It was a solution we came up with. It's been really effective.
Now, I am fascinated. Thank you for bringing the program along, the actual program. I must say, I must not have been paying attention, but there is a page of concert etiquette. And I think that's a great idea.
You know, I think many times people just haven't had, you know, a lot of high schools don't have auditoriums. And so some of our early experiences in concerts are in a gym. And we forget that we don't act like in a gym. And it's not that we're being very snobbish or looking down at people. But like I grew up in a place just like Callaway County. I never went to the symphony. My parents didn't know that you don't applaud between the movements of something. Wait till the conductor's hands go down. And a couple simple, polite prompts, I think, are an excellent way to let the audience know some of those etiquette things for concerts, and really it's helped quite a bit, and no one's complained about this. It's really well written. I think the faculty had a committee that we wrote these in, and I don't think they're too heavy-handed or condescending. It's yet you know what to do,
and especially in the age of smartphones.
Oh yeah, exactly. We usually have a little announcement because let's face it, we've all made the mistake where we leave our phone on, and it's not an intentional thing, but it could be. It's certainly not something we don't want to do to the performers to have like my ringtone is Earth, Wind, and Fire. I don't want, you know, September blowing through the, you know, Dvorak, you know, tomorrow night. It would be a bad thing.
We're speaking with John Fannin, who directs bands at Murray State University, about a huge concert. It's the spring concert tomorrow night in Lovett Auditorium. It starts at 7:30. Parting words?
It's going to be a musical smorgasbord, like I said in the press release. It is going to be all over the road. It's really, it's going to be friendly to the ear, basically, and I think you'll really enjoy it.
Dennis Johnson conducts the symphony orchestra. You're conducting the symphonic band, and you have some faculty assistants here?
Yes. Eugene plays, Dr. Park plays, and our cello instructor also plays, and we have a little help from a graduate assistant playing oboe. So there's quite a few people that contribute to putting things together. All the logistics are pretty significant, and we get a little reinforcement sometimes from our faculty to help us out, too.
A special evening. I hope our listeners will show up in droves.
7:30, and it's free.
Thank you, John.